So from the Gospel according to Matthew, amen, chapter 11. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Hallelujah. Amen. If y'all help me, we're not going to be long because we just want to, we're just thankful to be to come together and encourage one another. Amen. And receive a word and we can go out and take with us and just place it in our heart and spirit that we can just continue to worship God and be thankful for all of his many blessings. Matthew 11. Jesus. Awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read from verse 12 of this particular lesson from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Amen. Is everybody there? And I'd like for us to read this this particular verse in unison. Amen. From whatever version that you might be acquiring. Amen. I'm reading to you from the King James Version. But I want us to read this verse in unison. All right? Are we ready? Let's read. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Oh, Lord. Let up our seat. Woo, Jesus. Y'all keep reading because I just read it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory. Y'all want me to start up? Glory. I don't know if I can finish it. So y'all have,
yeah, you just keep ahead, reading. Go
ahead. Amen. We're going to start. We're going to try to take this over. Start over. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Sometimes we go up in that prayer language and begin to, oh, Lord, God is just so good. Amen. So I want to talk about kingdom acquisition. Kingdom acquisition. And to give you a more topic that you might can reflect upon, amen, get in while there is still time. Get in while there is still time. Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Amen. When we can talk about kingdom acquisition, it means it's a process of what we do to get something. You either purchased it, amen, you begin to understand that it came by some means or some method. And when we talk about the kingdom, we're talking about the fact how the Lord divinely by his own providence and his own purpose, how he moved, amen, to bring forth a process whereby he could bring us back into right standing with himself. Well. And so this acquisition process, it proceeded through 42 generations where God has set his plan in motion through various dispensations. And when we say dispensations, we're talking about periods of time where God used certain men, certain situations and circumstances whereby he worked his will and his purpose so that he might divinely act on our behalf. Yes. Because how many know that we were lost, so we needed somebody to act on our behalf.
Thank you, Jesus.
So thank God for the Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Because he sent his son that he might acquire the rights to free us from bondage.
Yes.
Amen. And to liberate us and to set us free. So when we're talking about kingdom, we want to invite you to come on in the kingdom.
Come on in the kingdom.
Amen. In other words, we want to invite you to become citizens of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And the only way you could help achieve this, you must come through the door.
All right.
The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the door by which you must enter. And you must get in while there is still time.
All right.
Because no man knows the minute nor the hour. Uh-huh. But we do know while we got the time,
yes.
We need to evaluate, amen. And we need to retrospect and look back and see what is it that we need to do to make sure we got access mm-hmm. into the kingdom.
Right.
Now, what did Jesus do in this particular lesson? Well, first of all, because of the fact God knew that we needed a Savior, amen, we know he sent his only begotten Son.
Uh-huh.
But God did something very unique in his own providence. He sent a forerunner.
Well,
come on, somebody say, God got somebody running for you.
Yeah, I got somebody running.
He sent a forerunner by the name of John the Baptist.
Uh-huh.
And in sending John, amen, he sent him, amen, in such a manner that he would bring a pre-announcement to the world, to announce to the world that there is a need for repentance.
All right.
And there is a need for salvation.
Yes.
But the way to get there is to understand that you must go through the process
uh-huh.
by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
But before we can get there, God sent John to let the people of Israel know that the Savior, the Messiah, the anointed one, he is coming.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming, but you got to get ready.
Get ready.
You got to get in while it's still time.
All right.
And so John was preaching, amen, and the scripture talks to us about this before I get to my base scripture. But the scripture talks about this, how John, when he came on the scene, amen, he was being rejected. He was being scorned.
Well,
and because people did not want to accept the fact this man could wear the apparel that he was wearing.
Uh-huh.
Come on, he wore camel skins, goat skins,
right.
Amen, ate locusts and wild honey. And he's down here at the Jordan River preaching, talking about there's the Messiah is on the way.
Uh-huh.
And in order to get ready to receive him, you need to repent.
Yes.
Amen, and be baptized. For the remission of your sins.
Yes.
In other words, God always sends somebody to bring you a word or an announcement
uh-huh.
that something unique is getting ready to happen.
All right.
And because of John's actions of obedience, he begins to spread the gospel, amen, in preparation of who was to come.
Uh-huh.
And when he saw Jesus while he was down there at the Jordan River baptizing,
uh-huh.
amen, he looked up and saw the Lord coming.
Well,
woo, Jesus, hallelujah.
Hello.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. He saw Jesus and he knew within his spirit that something is getting ready to happen. What I was sent to forerun and to precede has now materialized.
Yes.
That the Son of God is here,
here,
present, and I behold his glory.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. And I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes.
All right.
But yet he's calling me to baptize him.
Yes.
For the preparation of the ministry that he's going to bring in the earth.
Yes.
Because at this period of time, Jesus is in his period of what we call obscurity.
Uh-huh.
He was hidden for a time.
Yes.
But now he's ready to take charge.
Woo!
And take the reins.
All right.
And John, now after he baptizes Jesus, the Bible says, amen. We're just talking about a little bit 101. Amen. And when he baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River, the Bible says the Holy Ghost drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Yes.
And in being tempted by the devil, the Bible says also, now John moves to the side.
Right. Uh-huh.
He is arrested, amen, and put in prison.
Well,
and John asked the question, you can read this in the text, and John asked the question, amen, to his disciples to send Jesus a message when Jesus comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he begins to demonstrate miracles and work wonders. And of course, he came under scrutiny now because he's moved into his public ministry. Because now he goes, amen, to the Sanhedrin church.
That's right.
Lord help mercy. And he opens the text and say, in your ears this day the scripture has been fulfilled. In other words, he said, I am the one who was spoken of by the law and the prophets. I have come and I am here. Thank you, Jesus. John is in prison, amen, perplexed in what he's hearing, annoyed about the fame of Jesus. Because now Jesus is beginning to move in his power and his authority. Uh-huh. And they're trying to figure out, is this the one? Even John, at this point of his life, being in prison, amen, he's wondering, trying to figure out, is this the one?
All right.
Amen, that I've been preaching about. Come on, somebody. Lord, have mercy. See, sometimes in your life, you'll get in a predicament where you've been walking with God, but then a situation will come up and make you begin to question whether or not you are really serving the one that you've been talking about. And John had a question for Jesus, so he sent his disciples down to the prison to ask of, Lord, have mercy. John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, amen, are you the one?
Are you the one?
Or shall I look for another? And Jesus said, send back a message. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, don't you see the signs? Don't you see the wonders? Amen. Don't you know that I am?
I'm the one.
In other words, now the acquisition process has been started. Uh-huh. Jesus is saying now the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is with you. And saints of God, I'm here to just to let you know today, God is saying, I am with you.
Yes.
And you have the opportunity to get in while there is still time.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
All right, what does all that mean for me? Amen. What it means for us, first of all, we have to be connected to the spiritual kingdom.
Well,
amen. And the only way we can be connected to the spiritual kingdom, we have to hear and receive the gospel of Jesus.
All right.
Because now John was preaching about the coming of the Messiah. Now Jesus is saying, I take over from here.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, John. For all the prophets, John uh-huh. was the greatest.
Right.
He said, there'll be no other like him.
Right.
Amen. So, but now I will take over.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to begin to let the people know that the kingdom of God is with you. See, you got to understand, we're just not out here in a physical kingdom.
That's right.
But we are in a spiritual kingdom. And the only way we can gain access to this kingdom is to know Jesus. We must accept his word, amen, the gospel that is preached, amen. The kingdom is the gospel.
That's right.
Amen. That is preached unto us.
Uh-huh.
We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
And to be in the kingdom means you have keys to the kingdom. To be in the kingdom means you have special access that you have been given. You have been made privileged to become sons of the Most High God.
All right.
Amen. You're just not physically a part of this earthly kingdom.
That's right.
You no longer belong to the world, but you belong to God.
Amen.
And so the message comes to us to help us to see. Amen. The world will challenge the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Even in Jesus' day, amen, when he walked about in the various areas, amen, he was being challenged, amen, as whether or not he was the Son of God.
Right.
Amen. They call him Beelzebub, working his power by demons.
Right.
Amen. But Jesus rebuked their philosophy.
Yes.
Amen. And their arrogance to think that you see the signs and you do not know me.
Woo!
You see, I'm the one who was spoken of by the law and the prophets.
Right.
He's saying that, listen, you are the philosophical religious leaders who went to school and still don't know me. But so you're like whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. But I'm the kingdom standing here. Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
And if you knew who I was, just like he told the woman who was at the well, if you knew who I was, you would ask me to give you water. Lord, have mercy. So I got to get in while there is still time. And so Jesus is announcing that I have come to serve you. I have come to fight for you, to bring you the kingdom. What other king you know who has the privilege and the authority, amen, to come from out of eternity and to walk in time, take on flesh, and still be God?
Wow.
God.
That's
my God.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Y'all know Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So we just talking about what you know, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So he's a God who's able, amen, to hold one world and to shake another.
Uh-huh.
He bringing us the dispensation of the gospel. He's saying, listen, I am here. I've come, amen, to open the eyes of the blind,
yes,
those that are deaf and lame. Amen. He began to demonstrate his miracles and his power. But in the process, amen, of understanding, amen, the religious leaders and those who was against him, they begin to rise up against his authority,
right,
and declare against him that he was false.
Right.
But Jesus consistently knew what was in their heart.
Uh-huh.
And he rebuked them, amen, for their arrogance to insult the Spirit of God. And so we must know, amen, this when he gets down to the place when he says, listen, behold, amen, from the days of John the Baptist,
uh-huh,
until now. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence,
yes,
and the violent take it by force. Now, let me show you something in the spiritual aspect of the kingdom. One on one aspect, if you look at this, you would think it from a human perspective.
Uh-huh.
You would say that, okay, God, the church is under attack. The church is being come against.
My Lord.
Amen. Things that the enemy has sown. Amen. Even from the beginning until the days of John. Amen. The church has been under persecution.
That's right.
That's true. But there's a kick here. Amen. Because if you read the scripture further, you come to understand that what Jesus is really talking about. He's saying that the kingdom is so forceful.
Right.
Lord, help me, somebody.
Come
I don't need to help you.
Yeah.
Amen. The kingdom is so powerful. And the reason why Jesus was driven into the wilderness,
uh-huh,
that he might come back in the power of the Holy Ghost. So he's saying that the power of the church,
yes,
and the authority that was for the church and for his kingdom has already been.
Yes.
Even from then until now.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
The gospel have already been going forth.
Yes.
Amen. There were some dissenters. There were some rejectors. But it did not stop the force,
right,
of the kingdom.
Yes.
So when we read this, it's not that the kingdom is being hindered.
Right.
It's not that the kingdom is being stopped. But it's the fact is, Jesus, when he came out the wilderness, he came out with the power.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy,
yes,
somebody. And so this power transfers, amen, into the kingdom of everybody that will receive him. And the scripture says that there was one who called for a wedding, and he invited many ones to come and attend, but they made excuses for why they could not come. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, know what? Go into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come. What are you saying, Bishop? Lord, help me, somebody. What I'm truly saying is the kingdom of it suffered violence,
yes,
because of the power it has to draw people in.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the kingdom is so powerful, and it's drawing people in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it looks like, my God, because the power is drawing people in, it looks like the kingdom has been assaulted. Lord have mercy. Because the souls of those who will hear it and receive the gospel of Jesus, they come running like a crowd. That's violent. Thank you, Jesus. So their violence look as if they are attacking the kingdom. But don't touch it. But let somebody know the violence is a result that the power has been released. And they sense the power. They receive the truth of the word. And that truth draws them into the presence of the kingdom. And Jesus said, no man can come except they be drawn. Lord, have mercy. So you come into the kingdom one after the other. The crowds gathered around. Some came for provision, but some came for salvation. And it looked like they were rushing in on Jesus. Looked like they were going to destroy the church. But it was really the souls that were rushing in saying, I got to get to Jesus. Somebody said, you got to get in while there's still time. So in the rushing in, it created a force and a vacuum that drew so many. This is why when Peter was preaching after the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the church grew by 3,000. Thank you, Jesus, in one day. That's because when they heard the word, when they heard the truth of the word, they had such a conviction on their soul. They realized, I got to get in while there is still. Because I heard that the kingdom is here. And I want you to understand, many of us, we're waiting to go to heaven. But I want you to understand, heaven is in you. If you're in the kingdom is in you. But you got to first have that process in order to get into the kingdom. You got to accept Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to receive the truth of his word. To know that he died for us. He rose with all power in his hands. And so the violent attitude that we should have is, I got to get to Jesus. I'm reminded of that woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. After she's been going through her process, going, spending her money with all the doctors, and the doctors couldn't do her no good. And she heard that Jesus was in town. And she said, she reconciled within herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That's the virus. Because she made up in her mind, I heard that Jesus is here and I need Jesus. Do anybody need him today? And so she made up in her mind, amen, I don't care what might happen. I don't care who might try to say shut up and don't you touch the Lord. But because of the fact I know he's a savior, I know he's my deliverer, I got to get to Jesus. And if we get violent enough, we'll release the power of God to move, and we'll see souls being saved. We'll see lives change, because the kingdom of God is sovereign. And because of this engaging process, the violent taketh by force. If somebody gonna give you $1 million, I don't think you're gonna walk up here all pretty. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If I was say the first one to get here, I think you will come violently and with force. And you will push anybody, and you will step on anybody that try to get there before you. That's what salvation is like. I want them so bad. I need them so bad. I'm willing to step and get where God wants me to be. I need Jesus, and I need him right now. So I'm bodily, I got an attitude. If you just give me Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I'm tired of being up here on this juniper tree. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house, and salvation gonna come. Somebody just need to say, Lord, I want to let you in. I want you to come now. I heard you are here, and I heard you are giving out wonders. I heard you are giving out salvation. I heard you are giving out deliverance. I heard you are saving souls. So I need Jesus. Come on here, somebody. You might be on a stretcher, unable to move for yourself, but you got to learn to call somebody. Can you come and help bear me up? Can you just get me to Jesus? Because the kingdom of heaven suffereth. And I got an attitude about my salvation. You don't know like I know what the Lord done for me. I'm so glad that God saved me. And so when you hear Jesus is in town, you ought to have an attitude and say, I gotta get to Jesus. Come on here, somebody. And when you recognize what I used to be, what I could have been, but when I found in Jesus a resting place, and because he saved me, I got to go in. Somebody say, get in while there's still time. You might be weighing the balance. You might be strapping the fence, trying to make up your mind whether or not you're going to walk with Jesus. But you better get in while you still have time. Because salvation has come. Jesus said the kingdom is here. So are you ready? When he releases the word, will you run in with a mighty force? Will you run in like a crowd and say, give me Jesus? Somebody say, get in while there's still time. The clock is ticking. The day is approaching. And you better get in. Well, preacher, how do I get in? I repent of my sin and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a sinner out here. Save me. Wash me. Deliver me. I got to get in. I heard you was in town. I heard you stop by. And I'm ready to get in. I remember when Deacon Harris first got saved. I thought he was going to attack me because he had such a violence. I got to have Jesus before I leave here today. And I said, I'm glad that he came for Jesus and not for me. Somebody say, get in. Because the clock is moving. The word is moving. Time is moving. And God is waiting on you to make up your mind. The kingdom stands ready to move with power. So the devil can't stop if you make up your mind and what God would do. Because he's already subdued the enemy. He'll rebuke the devourer and give you a moment to think about it and say, what shall I do? Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to Jesus just as I am, and I'm going to cry, Lord, just like blind Bartimaeus. He just heard Jesus was passing by. He couldn't see him, but he heard that there was a word in town. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. I want anybody. I'm getting ready to leave you. But I want anybody. Might not see him, but you just heard that Jesus came by your house. And you just cry out and say, Lord, have mercy. And I heard Jesus say, that's all I was waiting for. Because when you cry unto the Lord, he will hear your cry. He will come to your rescue. He will deliver you out of the hand of the enemy. And God says, because you were violent, you called on my name. He said, I'm going to move into your life with my power. Kick the devil out. Tell them to leave you alone. That's my child now. Somebody say, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Get in. Get in. All the way in. Yes. Get in. It's staying. violence, suffering violence.
Jesus.
Divine it. Take it by force.
Thank you, God.
Yes. You go in and say, Lord, yes.
Yes.
I'm going all the way.
All the way.
I need you.
Jesus.
Save me. Deliver me.
Jesus.
It took me this long to get to this point. And I refuse. Like Jacob when the angel was wrestling. I won't let you go.
I won't let you go.
Not until you bless me. That's a violent act.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Because when you hear the truth for your life,
yes,
you realize, God, I'm lost.
Yes.
But you have found me.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
God. Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Thank you, God.
Like the scripture said, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Was, somebody say that's past tense. But now I see. And see, your violence is your attitude and your cooperation to go into Jesus. Hold on to him. God, you got what I need.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't let you go. I found you. I won't let you go. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, did anybody have a violent experience? You're not sure, right? Amen. It's when you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior.
Need a Savior.
And you realize your life was leading you in the wrong direction.
Yes.
You were bound.
Bound.
Amen. For destruction. But then you heard Jesus speak into your heart and into your life and say, come on, my child.
Come on.
I'm here. The kingdom of God is here. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's what made the devil mad, because he knew he couldn't stop Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Because Jesus already came out with the power and the Holy Ghost. And everyone he ministered and everyone he touched, amen, there was a change. And the only ones who would not receive are those who refused to have faith. Thank you, Jesus. But he was still there, tangible, visible, there to help them to know that the kingdom is here. What you heard John talk about, I'm letting you know I'm the revelation of it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm the manifestation for your life. And all you got to do is run in. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, Jesus. For you will find rest unto your soul. I don't know about you, saints, but you know, life can pose you many challenges. And you can choose to go so many different directions. But there's only one way to the kingdom. And that's through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can try your own kingdom, which is of the world.
My Lord.
But your kingdom gonna corrupt.
That's right.
It's gonna
That's
die.
Right. That's right.
It's gonna waste away.
Yes.
But when it's all said and done, only the kingdom of God will stand. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus is so powerful in the sense of what he says and promises for his people. He says, not one joint or tittle of my word, thank you, Jesus, shall pass away. Not one part of it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. Thank you, Jesus, before my word would. That's his promise. That if you come in the kingdom, I'll keep you, I'll preserve you, I'll watch over you. And you know what's so unique about Jesus? He said, well, if you're out of the kingdom, he said, I'll take you back.
That's right.
He'll restore you unto the joy of your salvation.
Because
sometimes life will throw a curve at you and make you feel like you can't make it, you can't do it. Make you feel like serving God is too hard. What I found over these nearly 40 years of preaching to be hard was our lack of understanding. amen, our disobedience, because we wanted to do our own thing. We were so used to doing it our way.
Our way.
Being independent. Nobody can tell me what to do. That's what makes it hard.
That's what makes it hard. Right.
But when you let God break your will, thank you, Jesus, and you begin to see his will, that's what he had to do with the Apostle Paul. He had to break his will. Thank you, Jesus. Knock him off that road to Damascus.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. He was going one way with a mindset. But when he met Jesus, hallelujah, he came crying out, Lord, what will you have me to do? My God, if we could do that, Lord, what will you have me to do? Save me. Deliver me. Because I know your kingdom is here for me. And the thing about it, you can walk around with confidence because you know you got the kingdom living inside of you. The Lord Almighty, the hope of glory. He is your King. Thank you, Jesus. He is your Savior, your Sustainer. And that's how we're able to walk in victory. It's not by your power. I know you might have 10 degrees, but I promise you, when you meet Jesus, he's going to show you some degrees you never heard of.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. So it's not by our human philosophy. You know, it's not by our mental, telepathic, cognitive authority to think or to perceive. That's humanism. It's vanity before God. But when we cast down and realize, wait a minute, none of this, Paul's, he was a good example for us. Because, listen, all that I gained, I counted loss for the cause of Christ. I realized, amen, my education couldn't even teach me about Jesus.
That's right.
But it was my faith, amen, my bowing down and realizing I need Jesus to teach me about him. Thank you, Lord. And when you get in his face, he'll show you his love. He'll show you his victory. He'll show you that what you try to do on your own that took 10, 15, 20 years, and some of us, we're still trying to make it happen. God said, if you just simply release it, come to me. Let me show you how to live for me. Amen. How to walk in me. And I will teach you. Amen. You must understand, you can't teach yourself everything. Ooh, Jesus. Because the flesh has a unique mannerism. It will try to trick you to believe that you don't need nothing and no one else. To make you feel that you can do it all by yourself. That's what we call isolation. Because if the enemy can isolate me to the authority of Jesus' word that's supposed to be operating in my life, amen, I'll continue to walk in my own way and in my own thinking. But when you have the mind of Christ, you'll be like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. If we can give up our will and say, Lord, give me you. Ooh, Jesus. Nicole, give me a little bit of that. Give me you. Amen. Give me you. Because that's what we need. Lord, give me you. Does anybody need them today? Thank you. I pray you do. Because you live in an hour and a time that you've got to have Jesus. Lord, help us to come on in. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I just want you to listen to a little bit of this song.